How to become smart, or don't get tricked into thinking that you are not smart. Preface. I've noticed today that individuals of questionable integrity use really big words to outright dismiss other people without any consideration for what they are saying. I saw this on one of the smaller news sites for programmers, where the attacker completed their sickly compulsion with sending the curious users to read the website rules before posting, as if to wash himself after the dirty deed of any and all fault, and perhaps in the process fuse with the cornholios of the real moderators. I don't think this was a real moderator. Either way, I muttered the words, "Toxic cat turd." And deleted the internet, or tried to, anyways. The following text attempts to bring such strange attacks and behavior to light. But really, it asks you to take to books, not just the internet. Because inheriting culture from well-respected books, also held in high esteem by all the world's intellectuals, will forever be the best way to rise above the irrelevant and the insignificant, whatever it may be. And in this case, spot a cruel or bad person. Be careful, because if you have to ask how to become smart, you might have come under a very serious attack. When a person succeeds in making you feel less than smart, then that means they have revealed themselves as a troublemaker to be avoided. Normal people in normal settings encourage each other with positive concepts and attitudes. They build each other up cheerfully and wisely. Overall, you can use the rule of, is this person helping or hurting me? Or is this thing contributing positive or negative things? For completion's sake, when I was a child, I've noticed troublemakers will try to make people cause the same trouble to feel better about what they've done. This is usually associated with drugs and alcohol in our teenage days. People who try to poison your mind are extremely dangerous, and in a significant number of cases, will shave off multiple decades of your life as you deal with addiction and rehab and relapse. They're in fact not your friends. The word friend is a very special word reserved for very special people. These troublemakers, the way they twisted up their minds, are unable at this stage in their development to think clearly or feel even. Just remember that positive people care about you, and negative people will try to manipulate you, probably just for this one simple, stupid reason: to make you more convenient so that their lives are easier. And if you ever catch a negative person being positive in order to manipulate you, that is the universe just reaching out to you and tapping you on your shoulder in hopes of getting you to become a funny and soon to be a beloved writer of the most magnificent novels. We are all super smart, no exceptions. But that can be disabled, and this is where this whole myth of not being smart starts. Because the disabling of a person's intelligence can be done without them noticing at first. Stress, just from being told what to do all the time, can disable clear thinking. So when you feel that being sent to do chores or wash the dishes or put the dishes away into the dishwasher somehow has a negative impact on your emotional state, it actually does. And pressuring you into doing things that you are not ready to be doing, pulling you out of a state in your mind that isn't conducive to cleaning up the house, can create stress. The discomfort is a real indicator of a real emotional issue. That issue can turn off your smarts. It will cancel your intelligence. It will break down your creativity. You won't be able to catch it. You may complain about it, but you won't notice that after you're done doing the dishes, you are no longer capable of writing the poem that you were thinking about. You no longer have the serenity to go to your room, turn on the projector, and start a new painting. If you are a parent and you are curious how to rip your child from daydreaming about poetry and shove them into washing dishes, let me tell you something. There's a popular internet video of a young lady receiving an iPad that was the wrong color, and her getting upset at it. This is real. This is a serious issue. She wanted the different one, the one that her friends don't have, the one that was more meaningful to her. In fact, she was not interested in getting an iPad. She was interested in getting the black iPad. So when she was disappointed yet again by getting the wrong thing, she became very upset. She's not spoiled. She is growing and expanding and reaching out for things that she can build upon. Now, this young lady was misguided to rely on a color of some gadget, yes. But what she was doing was serious and very important. Reaching out for steps that she can step on in order to rise. And making fun of her was the wrong thing to do. So if your daughter does not want to do the dishes yourself. Do not demand obedience from your children. If you don't want to be friends with them, then stay their way. That's how you get them to do the dishes. If you press your children hard enough while they are growing up, they will lose their natural curiosity for the world around them. They will then have no urge to reach out for books, to look into art, to look into music, and instead will find themselves doing a 9-to-5 in a cubicle for the entirety of their life. they will be silently suffering for it. You need to think about what you're doing and how you relate to your children. Because by the time you think obedience is the right way to do it, you already screwed up. And you need to start reading books so that you rise to the challenge of guiding the future generations. And kids don't rebel. They simply reject what is irrelevant, what is stupid. And if they don't know where else to go, then they will do something unusual. The where else to go is a very clear path ahead. It's the same path that the entirety of humanity is traveling on towards improving the world, towards eliminating poverty, reducing crime, which is incredibly easy when you create real schools. It is becoming more intellectual. It is reaching out for knowledge that is trapped in countless books written over the past couple of thousand years. It is realizing, by inheriting from books, that the aim of a person, that their meaning, is deeply connected to their greatness. They are searching for greatness. To rise all the way up, to grow all the way up until they become great beings. This is what daydreaming as a child is about. Finding your way towards that path. And being forced into something and ripped out of those daydreams is a stupid and worthless thing. I think demanding obedience from children is absolutely the worst thing that a parent can do. And in schools, it's the same situation. The teachers are calling teenagers hormones. But the teenagers have long figured out that the teachers are fake. They're just having fun by ignoring them completely, while still trying to get the diploma so that they don't cut themselves off from getting some shitty job in the future. They know it's going to be shitty because they see that the schools are fake. Then teachers look at that and see, oh, it's the hormones. They're completely out of control. No, you jackass. They saw right through you. They know you don't know how to teach. They also know that parents send them to school because school is a convenient babysitter. And we really need to talk about using concepts like school, because even as I try to describe the problem that we face here, I'm getting tripped up. The school is fake. It is not able to teach the way it is currently formatted. We don't learn the way that schools teach. We learn by creating our own path, not by randomly following subjects so cut up they effectively lose all their meaning. So, parents are not sending their children to school. They are sending their children to a fake school that is ineffective in the long run. A real school would be something that a child would begin inventing on their own if they were encouraged to discover the world around them. So this usually happens when a person is very young, like 10 years old. And if they show some curiosity about computers, for example, you get them a computer. If they like bugs, you get them a microscope and hope that they change their mind. If they like stars, and who doesn't, you get them a telescope. You spend time with them to encourage their curiosities, to make them longer. So it's not just, here's a telescope, go out into the yard and make sure not to drop it. It's actually a long-term commitment to monitor the telescope curiosity, where you continually add new experiences and hardware. Now, instead of being stressed out in a cubicle at the age of 40, that person will be remembering what it was like to spend the night with their mom and dad in the shed out back looking for a particular star or comet or some constellation. That's education. These curiosities, when they reach a certain length, or the exploration thereof, start connecting, combining, interweaving, multiplexing, and the person becomes an expert at something very unique, something that sometimes the world isn't ready for. To quote George Bernard Shaw, "The reasonable man adapts himself to the world. The unreasonable one persists in trying to adapt the world to himself. Therefore, all progress depends on the unreasonable man." This is, of course, not a question of reason or not, but rather of authentic education, of authenticity, of calling things what they really are, instead of just blindly accepting the way they have become. The ability to pull the two apart sits in books. This is the chronicle of the development of humanity. It takes as little as 100 and requires as many as 10,000, basically a lifelong commitment. But in the process, you gain a feel for what humanity is and where it's going, and how to protect its growth, and how to ensure that future generations live in peace. The correct path is one. It exists because it helps humanity to painlessly travel the longest road. To return to the subject at hand, a lot of parents don't know which way to go. If you feel that they are crushing you, then you have no choice but to become the black sheep of the family. This will help you relax. It will help you be you and become you, because you have a long life ahead of you. Once you catch your breath, there's only one thing you can do. Get at that 10,000 narrated books. Let people from all around the world tell you what humanity is about. They cross-reference one another. They call to each other. They all share the same idea of where humanity needs to go. And if you listen carefully enough, for long enough, then you will simply start inheriting the culture of great beings. We don't have schools today because they represent income for adults. they've become a place that is really good at making you feel stupid and then dangling a carrot of graduation, diploma, and a job, without mentioning the college debt, to get you to obey, to memorize, and to pretend to learn so that they can take a paycheck home and put food on their table. Of course, if they taught for real, the world would become a better place and the teachers wouldn't need to cheat to put the food on their table. You see, the teachers, by selling you out in school, pay for it during their retirement. Where if you had a real education, they would be cared for, they would be loved and celebrated. But by selling you out, they remain poor and of questionable character and ethics, wondering where it all went wrong. It all went wrong when you started pretending to teach and getting everyone to start memorizing things, which isn't really an education. I wish I was a good enough writer to explain to you that all concepts always have a double edge. Like, school is a beautiful idea. It's the only idea that can help humanity grow. But if you flip it and look at the other end, it becomes a tool for propaganda. It becomes a tool for liars to get easy paychecks from. It becomes a tool to make you think you have an education where you don't. It becomes a tool for people to make money from selling loans. So it's a beautiful concept, but it can be flipped. And you need to be wise enough to protect those flips. You need to know when they occur, to either ignore something or try to fix it, try to mend it. Concepts can build you up, but they can also destroy you. Concept of school, money, smart, creative, clever, neurodivergent, gifted, can be used for evil as well as good. There is no easy way for you to flip a switch and protect yourself immediately. The books are a process that takes years. It asks you to push away all distress and fear, especially stupid friends, but also when parents drain you of creativity, which is probably the hardest thing you're gonna have to do. The battle for wisdom and greatness asks you to love yourself, to celebrate every day of your life as if it was a New Year's Eve. And what is more, it asks you to become an adventurer, not a vacationer. They don't go out there for long enough to break out of their indoctrination, but an adventurer, someone that may travel near, but for a long time. Long enough to consider all the burdens on your back, all the books that you must read, all the questions that are still unanswered. This is why it is not okay to force someone into washing dishes when they are dreaming about serenity in order to understand the world. It is emotional labor. It's just that parents have been drained of that serenity for so long, they don't notice it's gone. and they are propagating this thing. And now, blindly ripping serenity out of their children's minds and preventing them from growing all the way up. There's no easy way to say it. Do not demand obedience. Either be friends with your children or stay out of their way. Serenity is critical for being able to pick up on wisdom from lifetimes described by authors, and for befriending said authors, because in order to understand a book, you have to become friends with the author. When that serenity is there, listening to 10,000 books makes all the difference. Listening to the first 100 makes an enormous difference. The books contain a treasure. This is the intellectual inheritance that belongs to every human being. At least try not to pay for them. Go to the library. That's why libraries are there. That's why they are free. Until your first 100 books, you are in danger of being manipulated or used or tricked or pushed into thinking that you're not smart. But it's just ridiculous to even think that. Because just look at your language. You've learned how to read and write and add little letters and glyphs and squigglies. That's a lot of intellectual work. It seems easy because your capacity for manipulating the abstract is so intensely vast. And you can learn multiple languages, multiplying all that easily. Until your 500th book, it will be really hard to untangle which concepts are there to manipulate you and which are there to help you. The concept of IQ, for example, is not real outside of a competent therapist's office. Competent therapists can absolutely help a person with actual learning disabilities. But giving a patient an IQ test at the end of therapy can only reveal a fraudulent therapist, because that is not how you use an IQ test. Low IQ is probably most often a sign of prolonged abuse. A therapist will take that sign and help the person up. Probably by encouraging them to art, by first practicing with an art projector, to do poetry with the aid of a rhyming dictionary, to compose on a beat sequencer with some awesome samples, and of course, to gently listen to their 10,000 narrated books. You see, it matters little what the IQ score is at the end of the therapy. It just matters that it was once low and it needed repair. It is just a signal for a competent therapist to bring art, music, maybe sculpture and other things, and certainly narrated books, into all the sessions. The concept ends here. Outside of a therapist's office, when someone says,
"I have a high IQ,"
it's usually a very reliable sign that that person needs therapy as well. I know this is funny, but please understand that many other concepts are being misused this way. They are turned upside down and presented as some kind of a force to push you left or right. Our cultures are too far behind to make the misuse of all those concepts ridiculous. We don't get the correct amount of education. We don't have real schools yet. This is why you need your 10,000 narrated books. It is a lifelong project, but it is how humanity grows. At the moment, it is the only real school we have. As a side note, the only time you can set your books aside is when you start writing your own. Your uniqueness will take different parts from different books and click them together, empowering you to write like you never thought possible. The books will help you ascend into a culture of wisdom where knowledge and greatness becomes your sacred right. And books that are held in high esteem by world-leading intellectuals will be especially life-changing. And please, don't just read books. Listen to them. Wisdom is like music. It is meant to be heard.